Okay, if you got a Bible this evening, turn with us over to John's Gospel, chapter number 16. And let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 16. I'm going to start reading in verse number 16. So John 16 and 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me, is what Jesus said. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Question. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he's saying. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among of yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore hath sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. Thank you for this special place, Lord, this sacred place, Lord, this separated place that you've set aside, God, you've set aside for yourself and your people. And I want to thank you that we have this place tonight. Touch each teacher, Lord, the young ones out back, I pray that you would help them. Help me in the teaching tonight to be a blessing, and we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to talk a little bit tonight here about three truths that testify. Three truths that testify. First of all, I want to deal with a problem that is common. In verse 22, he said, And ye now therefore hath sorrow. Now, don't think it's strange if you have trouble. I think a lot of times when a Christian gets saved and seems like that everything couldn't get any better, all of a sudden problems start to arise and difficulties happen, and the devil beats them down to try to steal that joy and that happiness and that spirit of attitude that they've acquired now from the grace of God. And I think a lot of times, maybe because we live right, and then when some things happen, we wonder, well, God, you're not fair in that. I mean, I'm living better than what I'm getting. And the devil would love for you to, the devil would love to convince you that God is unfair. God's not unfair. I've heard it said a lot, we all thank Him that He's not fair, because if He was, where would we be tonight? But here He's letting His disciples, He's just mentioned that He's leaving, that He's not going to be with them. Can you imagine now that He's been with these group of men, and they've seen things happen that they've never seen, and all of a sudden He talks about leaving them, but yet He's going to come back to see them. And And then he says, when he leaves out, they're going to have sorrow and trouble. Well, tonight, I want you to understand that we all have a problem that is common. Because I found this out to be true. There are some disruptions in life. There are times in life when it seems like, I mean, every wheel is run off the car. You just wake up and you have, you know, one of those days, the disruptions. Before I came to church tonight at 15 to 7, I had a very disrupting phone call. Just, you know, just out of nowhere, things happen. Well, Jesus is telling them in verse 22, he says, Now therefore you have sorrow. So there's a problem that's common. I know there are disruptions in life and there are disturbances in life and there are disappointments in life. I doubt if there's anybody here that hadn't been disappointed at life. You know, man, we've all had great plans, and there's nothing wrong with having plans. I think everybody needs plans. But sometimes plans change. And there are disappointments that come in our life. You know, some problems that come. And it's something that we all have common here tonight. We all have some problems. And they may not be just like, but at the end of the day, they do bring disruptions and disturbances. And so Jesus is teaching us that there's a problem that will be common and there's going to be some disruptions and some disturbances. And then I've noticed this, there are some disagreements in life. You're not going to agree with everybody in this world. I don't care if, you know, no matter what you've done to some people, you'll never make some people happy. Amen. I mean, you could give them a gold Cadillac and they'd complain that it was too shiny or something. I mean, something would be wrong, but the disagreements. And then, you know, what about the discomforts of life? Me and Miss Renee, we left the assisted living place there one day this week and we'd seen one of our members. And you know, when you walk in this lady's house, she's got all of these nice things that she's enjoyed so much in her life that you know, and it's the little things, the comforts of home. But now she's in a little cubicle. When I got there, she's in a wheelchair and she's looking out a window out there at one little tree in the courtyard. And you know, as we left, we couldn't help to be saddened about the discomforts of life. Who would ever thought maybe in her young 60s, she would be there in a wheelchair? You know, we don't know. And a lot of times, what we think, man, we've got it so bad. But you know, I got to thinking, Brother Howard, if I was in that chair and I was just staring out in that little courtyard, and if I just sat there about a week, I might quit some of that whining I do. And so, there are a lot of discomforts in life. And you know what I've noticed that the devil would have you to do? The devil would have you to major on the things that's not right. And if we really take an inventory, yeah, I know we all have some problems and issues. But I'm going to tell you what, I would venture to say everybody in here tonight, our blessings way outweigh our problems. If we really get to looking at what God's done for us. I mean, He saved us. We don't have to. we don't have to die and go to hell now. Because He sent His Son on a cross to die. And He come by and offered us life one day. And we accepted that by faith and He saved us. He's put our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we are blessed eternally being His children. But until we see Him, there are going to be some problems that are common. There are discomforts of life. There are some discouragements of life. You know, life brings a lot of discouragements, don't it? But you know, Jesus is writing and He says this in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Turn with us there and hold your place and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're simply talking about a problem that is common The devil would love to make me and you think we're the only ones that have problems. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, "Yea, and always remember this, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You're going to experience things done to you just because of who you are in Christ. And therefore, we need to remember that these problems that are common. Now, look back in John 15, 19, back toward the text. Now, I want you to look at something that the Lord said in John 15 and 19. First of all, notice He's talking to His disciples, and He says this, that conflicts are inescapable. Conflicts are inescapable. I don't care if you plan to have a day without a conflict or without a problem. You still may have one. Now, I want you to look what Jesus said in John 15, 19 through 21. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, conflicts are inescapable. In verse 22, look, also conflicts are inexcusable. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, they have no excuse. The law finds them guilty. And then conflicts are inescapable. They're inexcusable. But in look in verse 25, conflicts are irrational. Look what he says. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Have you ever tried to get somebody or tried to get along? Or have you maybe wondered why somebody was just all the ways trying to pick on you or persecute you, or you're the one that they're always pointing at or doing this at? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says this, they hated me without a cause. You don't have to give them a cause to not like you. You're a Christian. And we've got to realize in this world of technology now that most churches have went so worldly and the world's got sort of churchy, there's no variances between a Christian and the world. But this Bible says, come out from among them and be you separate. And if you're going to live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, and be a Christian, you're going to suffer at times for being a Christian. I've heard a lot of times people say, well, you know, just a little lie won't hurt. Well, I found this out. If you don't tell lies, you can have a bad memory. Amen. If you don't tell lies, you ain't got to have a good memory, because you ain't got to tell another lie to cover the one up that you've just told. And so a lot of times when you stand for what's right, you're going to be persecuted about it. And this is the bad thing. A lot of time it's family. A lot of times it's those that you seem to maybe love the most, but they ridicule you the most. Well, you think you're too good. You went down there at that church. You've got saved. And now you just think you're above all of us. No, we got saved. We act different now. We got saved. And therefore, you've got to realize that conflicts are coming. There's a problem that is common to all Christianity. I think the problem is, it's a couple of things. One, first of all, the reason some people don't have any problem being a Christian, they're not a Christian. And then number two, the reason they don't have a problem being a Christian, they don't act like a Christian. But when you're going to stand for this book and stand for what's right, whether it's in your family or not. And you know, I don't have to go in great details, but you will be tried with what you believe. I will guarantee you'll be tried with what you believe. And you'll be surprised, though. This will always surprise you, who's watching you and who you'll impact and influence. God will use your trial to be a blessing. And so don't think that you're the only one that's having a problem. Now, look in John 16, verses 1 and 2. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall, watch this, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Did you know something I'm going to say tonight? Our camp meeting this year was one of the best camp meetings we've ever had. Did you know I had some preachers in that camp meeting? And I'm in the mix. That if they preached in the average Baptist church in Carrollton, they'd throw them out. You know why? Because they're religious. Know nothing about the workings of the Holy Ghost. They know about religious things, just being religious. And he said, the time will come that they'll cast you out of their synagogues. Well, if you stood up about open abortion was wrong or homosexuality was an abomination, my goodness, you may offend their big membership and they quit making their quotas and paying their bills. But you know what I've noticed? And y'all wouldn't believe how many tales the devil's told me here in 20 years. But what I've always noticed this, God sees about his young'uns. And God's always seen about his people, and God's always going to see about his people. And just because you're a Christian, don't think that you're immune to trouble, because you're not. Whether it be in your job or in your family, I can promise you this, there's a problem that is common, and he said it in chapter 16 and verse 22, and ye now therefore hath sorrow. Now that's not only tribulation and trials, but that's heartaches. There are some heartaches in this old life. I mean heartaches in this life. And there are some things that tear our hearts out. And so there's a problem that's common. Now, I'm glad that there's grace to get us through these times and these trials. Have you ever had a day that it seems like I just can't take no more of this today? I just can't take no more of this today. Well, I've noticed something that when these problems come, that it makes Christ dearer. And it makes Christ a lot clearer. And it brings Christ a lot nearer. And so I'm glad we've got a God that sees about our problems. Have you ever noticed this? That He won't necessarily take you out of the problem. He gets in the problem with you and works it out for His honor and glory. Three traits that testify. Number one, a problem that's common. But number two, there's a promise that's coming. Look what he said in John 16, 22. I think as a Christian, we lose sight of this way too often. You used to hear all the old men of God preach about it every Sunday, and we don't hear it near enough. Listen what he said. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but, I love the way he inserted that. Something's going to change now. But I will see you again. Well, there's a devoted promise. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to do better in keeping my promises, but sometimes I just don't do it. Have you ever promised somebody you'd do something and didn't do it? I've said a lot of promises 34 years in marriage. Now, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to hurt your feelings no more. And she'll be crying beside you. Somebody going to say amen right there. Well, let me tell you something. He's made a devoted promise. This ain't the Sears and Roebuck. Listen, if we really believed He is coming, we'd be living different. If we really thought He is coming, we'd be telling somebody about this. Now listen, Jesus is coming. Nothing's changed. This is still the book. It is a devoted promise. He said, now y'all gonna have some trouble. He said, matter of fact, I'm guaranteed. He said, you're gonna have sorrow, but I'll see you again. Thank God He's coming. And see, there's a promise that's coming. That's a devoted promise. And then Acts 1, it's a divine promise. Acts 1 and verse number 10. Don't lose sight of our Lord coming. I wish I could tell you a tale. A lot of you laugh, but now I'm just as dead serious I know how to tell you this tonight. We was raised in the country. Now, I'm not telling you, we was in the country. Mama would put a quilt down, and that was entertainment. You go lay on the quilt on the shade tree and watch traffic come by. But it wasn't no traffic to come by. I'm telling you now, that's the way she done things. But listen, my mama started a public job, and I was about 4. And my daddy took me to a big daycare center. I'd never seen one. They said it looked like a penitentiary. I mean, I'm dead serious. I'm talking about in the 60s now. Stuff looked cold in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? And so he had dropped me off, and he had laughed. Me when they got married, he'd tell it at Christmas, you know. He said, I can see Ken now with his little cut-off haircut. And he'd look back in that door, and this is what I'd say. Daddy, you're not going to forget me, are you? My God, I was afraid he was going to leave me in town. Boy, I'm dead serious. I'd climb out of that old 68 GMC and before I'd slam the door. You know, Brother Dave, the door slammed different then when the metal hit than the cars do now. But I'd look in there, Brother Will, every time I'd say, Daddy, you're not going to forget me, are you? That may not mean nothing to y'all, but I'm going to tell you what. I didn't want to be there all the time. I wanted to be sure somebody I love was coming back to get me. And I come up here to tell you tonight, Jesus is coming, and He ain't leaving us here by ourselves. There's one day He's coming back, and we're going to go back to where He is, and thank God all this will be over with. Glory to God. He's done told me He ain't leaving me here. Boy, you're talking about a change. You take a little boy out of the country and put him in town and see how he acts. But I'm telling you, it's a divine promise. Acts 1, verse number 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I think, Brother Driver, that's where I find myself a lot of time, just gazing. He don't want us just gazing around. He wants us gathering in the kingdom. He wants us sowing seed and being light. He don't want us just sitting around looking. He wants us to be doing what we need to be doing until He gets here. He says, why stand you gazing at this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven? I'm glad I know where He is tonight. Shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Jesus is coming. Are you going? The problem that's common, disruptions and disturbances and disagreements and discouragements and discomforts. But not only the problem that's common, there's a promise that's coming. It's devoted, it's divine. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 1. Turn there tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Man, you're talking about a great chapter in our Bible. Turn me off, Brother Ryan. These sciences fixed, we need a mute button on this thing. Amen. And what they want to do, I think I'm going to play with the mute button a while. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 1. By the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we're of the day, we're not of the night, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Thank God we're not going through the tribulation period. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as also ye do. And let me say this right here, church, in closing tonight in verse number 11. That ought to be a big part of our ministry here at this church. I preached on ministry for the master Sunday night. Do you remember? Well, listen in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or encourage one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and as to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A promise that's coming. A problem that's common. But lastly, in verse 22 of John 16, there are pleasures that are certain. There are pleasures that are certain. In John 16 and verse 22, and watch what he says, and ye now therefore hast sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and watch it. And your joy no man taketh from you. Now, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Have you ever noticed this, how people can steal your joy? They sure can. And we know our joy is in Jesus, but we're all real tonight, and people can steal our joy. And Jesus said, I can tell you this, their pleasures are certain. He said, when I come back, he said, no man's going to take joy from you anymore. Now, I'm glad of what he said. Watch this now in verse number 21. You ever notice what he said and really thought about it? I hope I can explain it real quick. I'm going to try. And a woman, let's read 20 also. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, labor pains. Now, us men, the lady will laugh at us. I tell you one thing you can't laugh about is those are kidney stones. Now, buddy, you think that right there won't put you in a round room hunting a corner, just get you one. I'm telling you, friend, a kidney stone is nobody's friend. And I realize that a woman having a baby, a man will never know nothing about that. Thank God we won't. But I want you to look in verse 21. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, this is the concept. He said, when you're having labor, it's bad. But when you get that child and put in your arms and your hands, you quit talking about how bad that was. You start thinking, oh, how wonderful he is. And can I tell you tonight, as your preacher, honey, me and you don't know what kind of sorrow we're going to have down here. And weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming yonder in the morning. And I'm going to tell you, when we see him, it'll be worth all the travail. It'll be worth all the labor. It'll be all the heartache and pain that we've ever given up in this world just to see the most glorious, holy, and the high one, the glorious Lamb of God that John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the Lord. Great glory in the morning. He'll take away all of our pains when he gets here. I love it. Stand up. Appreciate you coming tonight. Thank the Lord. A problem that's common, a promise that's coming, but pleasures that's certain. Going to a land where there's no more pain or heartaches. Thank God I'm a going. Is anybody glad to go into heaven with me tonight? Bless His good and holy name. Brother Larry McMillan, dismiss it.